Talking right now with Emily Skor, CEO of Growth Energy. Emily, thanks for meeting with us here at Trade Talk.
Always a pleasure. Good to see you in person.
Exactly. And, you know, we just talked a couple weeks ago, kind of reset where everything was. Since then, some more things have happened. You went to the Capitol and kind of gave them the what for a little bit, maybe, and kind of got some, hopefully getting some answers, at least get something on their mind. What happened up there earlier this week?
Well, it was a great conversation. I testified before a House committee earlier this week. The conversation was renewable energy in the rural economy, and I was very glad to see that biofuels was front and center. I wasn't the only witness who was talking about the importance of a strong renewable fuel standard. Most of the line of questioning with both Republicans and Democrats was specific to biofuels, really reinforcing the importance of a strong renewable fuel standard. We've got to get these blending requirements out. Talked about some of the opportunities in the Build Back Better Act, for example, $1 billion in infrastructure funding for higher blends of ethanol. And so it was very nice to see, again, bipartisan support expressed and bipartisan frustration expressed as well, that this administration came in and they committed to get the RFS back on track. Well, we all know that means getting the blending requirements out on time and in line with statutory obligations.
Now, I imagine there's going to be some challenges, because I know when you're talking about the Build Back Better plan, some of the champions in the Senate aren't necessarily for it, though they do support renewable fuels. How do you work through that situation?
Well, you know, obviously there is a lot of macro politics at play. This is going to be a very partisan bill and a very partisan vote if it comes to a vote. So our focus really has been, if there is going to be legislation passed, specifically if legislation is going to be about addressing climate mitigation, you have got to have strong components for biofuels. So there are several provisions, some kind of tax incentive opportunities for us on carbon capture, on sustainable aviation fuel, on clean fuel production credits. So our focus has been on talking about those provisions, why they're good for the industry, how we believe they need to be modified to really maximize our ability to compete. That's really been the focus of our conversation. And if not in Build Back Better, hopefully in a different piece of legislation that would move forward.
So I know we don't get a chance to talk about it too much, but, like, you know, as far as the marketplace for ethanol, I mean, how is it looking? I mean, last year was a tough year. We thought it was going to be a good year, ended up being a tough year. You know, exports of the products too. I mean, how are things looking overall?
I mean, overall, you know, we're doing well right now, and that's really good. We're just about, you know, maybe 5% off of 2019 levels in terms of where we are on consumer demand for fuel and in terms of demand for blending. Globally, I mean, at a macro level, there is a growing appetite for our product, and that's wonderful. We need to continue to take down trade barriers. We need to make sure we've got strong representation at USDA and the U.S. Trades Representative's Office to make sure that we've got access to markets. Our exports this year are probably going to be about maybe $1.2 billion, so that's actually a little lower even than last year. But the overall trend line, I think, is one where countries are hungry for low-carbon fuels. They're hungry for our octane. I mean, India is our second largest trading partner this year, and that's simply on industrial ethanol. That's not even fuel ethanol yet. So I'm really excited about what lies ahead, but we've got to get back to the global conversation. We've got to get our advocacy representatives within the U.S. government. We've got to get them in place so they can help lead the charge for us.
Emily, we just got some news here from the EPA. Not news we wanted to hear. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, it's not news we wanted to hear. So EPA announced today they are proposing to indefinitely extend the compliance deadline for the RVOs for 2019 and 20 and 21 and 2022. So we're basically kicking the can down the road for an indefinite period of time. It's frustrating. It's not what we want to hear. We need the agency to come out with RVOs for 2021 and 2022. We got to get those out.
Well, I know, and we were worried this was going to happen for 2019, unprecedented move. I mean, what's this going to mean for the industry if this is something that just is allowed to happen?
Well, it just prolongs the uncertainty. I mean, you, as a business owner, you cannot plan because you don't know. If you're an obligated party, you don't know what your obligations are. You have an indefinite period, and it just encourages and rewards the oil refiners for not blending because they don't blend. The price of RIN is manipulated, and then they kind of cry wolf. And all of this. And so it's really frustrating. It's a shame to see. And our message just continues to be, EPA, you said you would get the RFS back on track. Let's get it back on track.
Any recourse that can help right now, or is it going to have to be done in the halls of Congress?
Probably in the halls of Congress. I mean, we'll do all the things that we typically do. We'll participate in the virtual hearing. We'll provide comments. And yes, we'll absolutely beat the drums in the Midwest, in the Heartland, but also in the halls of Congress as well.
All right. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.